Reishia is the schus David ben Rivka for Shalema, as well as Chaim Malka Esther bas Sepeira for Shalema. It's kedai maybe to mention a few words that the son of Reb Chaim Volozhin, Reb Yitzchak Volozhin, writes about his father. And he writes the following, basically here just a couple of lines. He writes Minurov, he says, from his youth. From the youth of Reb Chaim, he said, "Nosa ula shel Torah." He already carried the yoke of Torah upon himself. B'shkida nevloy, an amazing dedication. Already from his youth, he carried the yoke of Torah with tremendous dedication. He said, "Ubi yoyse romalim ba'arbeis." When he was just 14 years old, so kova lemudoi, he took as a chavrus his older brother, which is one we're not so familiar with, Agoyin Reb Simcha. Agoyin Reb Simcha. Because we're familiar, the two famous brothers is Reb Chaim and Reb Zalman of Elojin. These are the two. The Valdo was another brother, and there happened to be an older brother, which is Agoyin Reb Simcha. And the Reb Chaim's son writes that my father, was about the age of 14 or so, he was Kaveya Limuda, he took as a Chavrus, his older brother, and he writes, Vavigursa Yom of Elayla. They were learning literally day and night. Like a Chavrus, like 2 hours or something. They're literally learning day and night fully. And we heard from the Zayde that sometimes they just didn't have any candlelight. That's the way it was. Sometimes they just didn't have candlelight. So they learned by the light of the moon. I don't know what they did when it was a dark or a cloudy night. But upon those, they used Poshit. They were not mevatel the Seder because of no candlelight. So what we do is try to find it any which way. So if it was the light of the moon, that's what they used. And at the time, they were mekabel Torah at that particular young age. V'kiblu oz darkish shel Torah. From who was their first Rebbe? Reb Chaim said in his teens, who was his first Rebbe? He sat together with his brother, Mirav Rabbonon, the rabbi's rabbi. Goin HaGoinim, and that was the Rabbi Yoleib de Shagisariye, something we had mentioned a while back. Shagisariye, the rabbi's rabbi, Rav Rabbonon. It's interesting that there was a particular Shaila in the Chuvas Nadib Yehuda, where the Nadib Yehuda gave a heter, which was a very controversial heter, in a certain situation, based upon a Rabbeinu Tam, and so on, which was considering whether Chalamoid, whether one should take, be able to take a shave or something like that, take a haircut, whatever the situation was over there. And there was a lot of disagreement with the Nadib Yehuda's shuv at that particular time. And they quoted Rabbeinu Tam, Asers. So, interesting thing. Now, nobody's going to go, take on Rabbeinu Tam. But what does the Nadib Yehuda write? Because the person who basically challenged the Nadib Yehuda is Rabbeinu Tam. He says he's one of the greatest Rabbonim, which is true. In his time, one of the greatest Rabbonim. So the Buddha says, if Rabbeinu Tam was one of the greatest Rabbonim, so there's someone before him, the Maharam of Rutenberg, who's Rav Rabbonim, who's the Rebbe of all the Rabbonim. And he was lenient. So Maharam of Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rosh, actually. So in any case, so the first Rebbe that they had was the Shagisariye. And the Kadhavi Kvar Esr Mechomish, Kibar, when he was like 25 years old, Havi Gomer Bekuda Talmidah, he was already fully accomplished in all of Shas. At the age of 25, not only all of Shas, Poskim Rishonim Achreinim. And now he was learning with the other brother. Reb Chaim was learning with the other brother. Vayelomed, he says, Torah im ochiv agoyin atzadik, domi lebar Eloin, the brother that is doime, that was compared to an angel. Zalman Volozhin was such a great goyin, and a tzadik in particular. I say particular not to diminish his goyin, his adrav, tremendous goyin. So he said, was Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman, these were the two brothers now. You can imagine how pleasant, how sweet it was to see how they were learning together. And who is the new Rebbe that they had after that? The true Rebbe can be compared to an angel who came down min Shemai Rabbeinu HaGodol Rabbon Shekol B'nei HaGodol, the Rebbe of all of exile, Meron of Rabbon Eliyahu Achoset, that's the Vilna Goyim. That was really the main Rebbe of Reb Chaim Volozhin, is the Goyim. And the Goyim was the one who basically, who gave of his Ruchai Aleim, he gave of his spirituality, of his Ruchnius, he was mashpi upon the Ruach Chochma. Ashrei Ayin Rasu Kolela, fortune would be the eyes who would be able to witness, experience that relationship. And what Reb Chaim gleaned, he says, from his great Rebbe, the Goyim. As great as Reb Chaim was, when Reb Chaim writes about the Goyim, which at another time we will quote, you'll see that Reb Chaim says, if I know anything, he says, it's literally, he says, like the peels of a garlic, he says, klipas hashum, compared to any way to the Goyim. No one can compare to the Goyinus and the godless of the Vilna Goyim. And we're talking about Reb Chaim himself, who's accomplished in the Kol HaTorah Kula. Just a few more lines, and that is to say, there was a great Goyim, another, actually one of the Talmidim of Reb Chaim now, we're going down to Talmidim of Reb Chaim. One of the great Goyim of Talmud Reb Chaim was the Mechaber of the Sefer Nachlas David. Now my yeshivas are members of Bachelor and Yeshiva. One of the Mefarshim on the Sefer Bar Metzia in particular, it was the Sefer Nachlas David. Reb David Tevel, who was a Rav in Minsk, that was his last Rabbonis, was Rav in Minsk, and that's, he was Nifter in Minsk. That was his last Rabbonis. Minsk was a very choshev rabbinical position, rabbinical kehillah. And Reb David Tevel, the Bar Nachlas David, and there's Shas Yeshuvas Nachlas David, or Beis David, and there's Droshes Nachlas David, and so on and so forth. He did not allow his Chedushin to be printed, he says. They were only later after he passed away, and so on, there were Chedushim were printed after he passed away, and they took us comments from the Gedoyl Ador of the time. It's Gedai just to mention just two Gedoyl Ador where they write about the Nachlas David. There's a reason why we're mentioning it. The Nachlas David, for example, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, was the Goyin Ador, the Poisik Ador of this time. So he writes, Kranoide, he says, Bechol Katzvei Tevel, it's already known all over the globe, Goydal Malas Kedushis Goyin Teferis Yisrael, Rav HaGoyin HaGodl Hu Amiti Tzadik Chosid Vionov, Kvoy Kedushis Shem Tefarat Rav David Tevel. It's known all over the globe. The Goyin is the Tzitzkis, he says, of Rav David Tevel. He says, it was the Rav Morad Asr of Minsk, Bal Mechaber Sefer Beis David Nachlas David, Asher Heir Pnei Mizrach, who basically lit up, he said, the whole eastern part of the world, so to speak. That's the Loshon when the sun comes up from the east. In addition to that, it's not printed. There are more chedushim nefloim. Peladigi chedushim. I'll come and mesech this. And then he writes, that which is known, public knowledge, does not need a raya for me. Kimilo yedea mitiferes goin to erosoi shulhagoin hu emiti. One who can be praised with all of these things that I'm saying. That was the Bishul Chon, just a little bit of how he writes about the Nachlas David. One of the great Goyim also, you know, is the Tzemach Tzedek, who was of course of Lubavitch, who's a tremendous Goyim, the Tzemach Tzedek, a lot of Chalokim and Shuvas. And the Tzemach Tzedek just writes about him, Harav HaMoyer HaGodol, he says, HaGoyim HaFursim, he says, Ayin Ha'edo, he's the eye of the congregation, but the Baron Dumsa, the leader of his nation, Kodesh Yom Eloi, and so on and so forth. So it's interesting just to point out that with David Tevel, the Nachlas David, which was unique, which when I was learning the Sefer, I was a little upset actually. Because what's written here in the Askom is that because of his Anivis, humility, he said that you should not print any of my chedushim until you get askomas from the Gedolei Hador, which is very common anyway. Those days, people would always take askomas, but he really emphasized that. What is unique about the Nachlas David, that not only, well, you have a right, you know, you learn a Gemara, you learn Tosis, you can ask Kasha, and we show you can ask Kasha and Tosis, you know, then what do you do with after that? Either you try to explain it if you can. If you can't explain it, you say, well, Tosis knew what Tosis was talking about, but I'll try another way. He had a different way. He rejected it. He said, oh, no, it's not Tosis. The concept of Tosis, very unique Lashonis, come up unseen. That a person, an Achron, certainly it's called really an Achron, should really be write so boldly, you know, and even sometimes brazenly against Rishonim. That one particular place I remember where Tosis asked a Kasha, and Tosis answers a Teretz. He says, the Doichik is so clear that even Tosis said it's a Doichik. That can't. Even Taisa said it's a doichik. It's so clear that it's a doichik. So, like, you wouldn't even try to answer. They suggest a different way. He lost many of the chedushim that he had were stolen from him, which gave him a lot of tsar. And therefore, that which we have is really that which merely remained. There's on the Bava Metzia, there's on Brochus somewhat, not even on the full Masechta, and then there is on Bava Basra. And they found here bits and pieces and so on and so forth. But one can see, one goes through any part of the Sefer, you can see the depth and the clarity and the logic of the Nachlas David, of David Tevel. It's kedai just to mention where he wrote that when he was 15 years old, he came to learn by Rav Chaim Volozhin, the Nachlas David. He was 15 years old. He said, "Bimei Alumi." He said, "That's a bacher. I was kebar chameser." Anoichi b'derech nachani Hashem, like Eliezer said, Hashem guided him, you know, to meet Rivka. Anoichi b'derech nachani Hashem, he says, "Beis Admor Agoyin Rav Chaim of Volozhin." That is the place I was kaveya my limud. Right? He says, Shomo Yonakti, that's where I get nourished in Torah. Mizdei Tuvanosoi, from the field of his knowledge, Mizib Chachmosoi, from the glory of his wisdom, so on, he goes on and on and on. From him I was makabel my derech and learning. Now, interesting thing is, his first Rabbonus was in a place called Stoibets, in Lithuania. That was his first Rabbonus. He stayed there for 32 years. 32 years is in this place called Stoibus. What's a fascinating thing is that when they engaged him, rather to accept him originally, to become Rav in Stoibus, that they came to ask his Rebbe, Rav Chaim, if he's worthy to paskin shilas, to be a Rav, in a place called Stoibus. Small place. Rav Chaim says, worthy to be a Rav in Stoibus? He's even worthy to be a Rav in Minsk. Which never, not even all Aladas, Minsk, we even thought about Minsk. But as I said, even Minsk, which is a very famous Gira, he's even worthy to be Rav there. 32 years he was Rav in Stoibitz. What happened is that after the Kehillah, actually after 32 years, there was an opening in Pinsk. There's an opening in Pinsk, so now he decided to be Mishtadl to become Rav in Pinsk. Why? Because he said the following, actually Minsk. By the way, Minsk and Pinsk are very far away from each other. just they sound very the same, but Lamaid are very, very far. Minsk and Pinsk are very far from each other. So he says, the reason that he's Mishtadl become Rav, he says, in Minsk, because being that Rav Chaim, when they asked originally if he's worthy to be a Rav in Stoibitz, Rav Chaim said, even in Minsk, he says, I know my Rebbe, he's like the Urim V'tumim, which means, if he says a word out of his mouth, if his words did not seem relevant at the time, I know that they have to have relevance at a later date. So now that there's an opening in Minsk, it means that I should have to be Mishtal. Because Rav Chaim said, I feel in Minsk, he didn't just say that. And if he said that, it means that it's Bashet for me, and Kach Takahave. When the Kehillah were looking for a new Rav, then he applied. So interesting that one of the main leaders of the community, said, this is the appropriate Rav. And then he quoted the situation that he personally had, because this Yid was Yid Agvir, again, who was from Minsk, and he happened to do business in Stoibitz. And one of his employees took him to the Torah, took his boss to the Torah. One of the employees took the employer to the Torah. It's not very uncommon. And to whom did they take him? To Reb David Tevel, the Nachlas David. He was the Rav in Stoibitz. And the psak was, said this leader of the community, the employer, he says, the Rav Paskin, that the truth is, you are Potter Medina Yodom, but you're Chai Medina Shemayim, which basically means a Bezen cannot obligate you to pay, but in Shemayim there's a Chayvin. There's such a halacha where you're Potter Medina Yodom, which down here in this world, Bezen cannot make you pay. But nevertheless, but Yachai B'din Hashemayim. But basically it means this, Bezen can't force him to pay, he can leave without paying, basically. You can't force him to pay. So this employer, this leader of the community says that the Rav, the Nachlas David, said, you have to pay. I want to make sure that you're Yaitse B'din Hashemayim. So he says, I asked the Rav, he says, what's justice? I'm Potter Medina Yodom. Bezen cannot force one to be Yaitse B'din Hashemayim. So the Rav said, he says, in the event, he says, where the defendant is rich and the plaintiff is poor, then the rich man should be Mekayim Dini Shemayim. You're the Yosher, and he's the poor man. Kachave. So he said, a Rav, he said, who is so strong and firm in his convictions, that would be the proper Rav for us taka in Minsk. Anyway, so he becomes like a Rav in Minsk. So I just want to mention, so when his great Rebbe, Rav Chaim, was Nifter, Rav Chaim Volozhin, so David Tevel, right, among just a little bit, just a few lines of what he wrote about his Rebbe, about Rav Chaim Volozhin. This is sort of like a hesped that the Nachlas David gave on his Rebbe, Rav Chaim Volozhin. And he said the following. The Yama Talmud, you know, is called the... Someone who has knowledge of Gemara is called, he's able to swim in the Yama Talmud because there's such a vastness of knowledge in the Gemara throughout Shas. So he says, Mi Yorad Lono Hayomo. Who is able really to go into the depths of the ocean? You know, to be able to swim in a deep ocean, you really have to know how to swim well. To be able to plummet the depths of the Yama Talmud, he says, Bavli Yerushalmi, who is a master over all of Bavli, all of Yerushalmi, the Shaite, to be able to swim through it, La'arkum L'Ragbam, to the length and to the width. Kasha Yodatev, because I know, he says, listen what he says about Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim once needed to find a source for a certain halacha. What did Reb Chaim do? In order to be able to find a source for one particular halacha, he was able to misaim all of Shas in 3 days. That's what he did. To search, he got from all over to find it. Yadanu, we clearly knew, he says, Kikola Toire Kule, Shas Bavli, Yerushalmi, Sifri, Sifro, Tisepte, Mechilte, and Divre Hazoira Kodesh, Vikizve Hari, Hoyacharusa Malibe, all of that was carved out on his heart. Yardov Yokoino, Sifosov, Sapishal, Posekimishle, all of Toire was established on his lips. This is just a chelik of what he wrote, it's called the Sefer Beis David, another Sefer which is mentioned, Aloin Bokus, which he writes about him. So imagine this. This was the godless of Chaim Volozhin. And Chaim Volozhin, when he talks about the goy, and he says, "I'm nothing." Clearly, he's a mavatl himself, literally ka'afra dari. So one can imagine what the goy of Vilna was about. So we go now to the Ruach Chaim here, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, we are on Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, but it's in your edition. It's Daf Yud Dalet. Daf Yud Dalet. It's on top of the page. Okay, so Reb Chaim here, basically, he developed the following. And in fact, the basic difference, he said, between Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, and even Avraham Avinu, the difference. Because Avraham Avinu, when it says it twice, Avraham, there's a line in the middle. I mean, there's a separation between the upper Avraham, Yishamayim, and the lower Avraham. Because every person basically has two identities. His Ikur Chelik of Neshama is Yishamayim. The Neshama that we have here in this world is just the edge, the lower edge of the Neshama. So our Neshama basically has been divided into two sections. The upper Neshama is still Yishamayim, and that's really pure, pristine, untainted. The lower Neshama, which is surrounded by the goof, which unfortunately is very physical and is involved in many material situations, is tainted simply by this world, by living in this world, and being therefore affected by this world. So our lower neshama is not able to receive all of the hashpo, all of the light from the upper worlds as the upper neshama. So there is a discrepancy, and there is, as we say, most people here in this world, as we say, there's a distinct difference between, as we say, the two chalokim of a person's neshama. Most people, even great people, I say most people, like everybody, except Moshe Rabbeinu actually, everybody, there's a distinct difference, sometimes less, when I say there's a difference, sometimes less, but there's a difference, whether bigger difference, lesser, but there's a difference, there's a distinct difference between the two chalakim of neshama, which means to say is, first of all, the chalak of a person's neshama, which is the greater portion, is on a much higher level. Right? That is the higher portion. That is the portion which is in Shemaim, that Chelik in Shemaim. Then you have the lower portion, which is in our bodies. That's the lower edge of the Neshama. They're so like removed from the upper. The lower portion of the Neshama, which is here by the Mazes, surrounded by the physical goof. So the physical goof which surrounds the Neshama is a chatzitza, blacks out the spiritual energy. The fact that our Neshama is surrounded with a goof, it's in. The body is like the case. The body is like the case for our Neshama. So the physical body basically blocks out the spiritual energy that the upper Neshama is trying to send. The upper Neshama that is bursting with spiritual energy, which is in Shemayim, is trying to send the impulses, let's call it the electrical spiritual impulses to the lower Neshama, but it cannot receive it fully. Because why? Because it's blocked out by the goof, by the body. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu's body was so pure, it was like a neshama itself. Moshe Rabbeinu's body was as pure like a neshama itself. It did not constitute a chatzitza between the lower neshama and the upper neshama. So, now, Now we come back to Aaron and Miriam. So Aaron and Miriam came, right, and they started to criticize Moshe Rabbeinu. Who does he think he is? Is he greater than any of the other Nevi'im? Or is he greater than us? We are also prophets. And we did not separate ourselves from our family. We still have wives and we still have a natural family life. And Moshe Rabbeinu went and he separated himself as if he's not part of this world. So they criticized Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? So it goes on now. We go, Vizehu inyan dibur Aaron u'miriam b'moshe. The basis of the dibur, the basis of the criticism, the base of the criticism of Aaron and Miriam Moshe. Listen to this: shechoshvu, because they believed sheetzlam gamkein nizdakech achoyim kemoi b'Moshe. They're tremendously hamadregis. In other words, they believe that their goof is also just as pure as Moshe Rabbeinu's. Their goof is just as pure, and Moshe Rabbeinu's goof is not a chatzitza. And Moshe Rabbeinu's goof does not block out the spiritual energy that comes from the upper neshama. They believe that they are just as pure. That their goof also is a shtik neshama, is a piece of a neshama. L'chein omru, therefore they said the following lotion. Harak ach b'moshe dibber. In other words, Kloimer, as if to say, Loi boy belvadoi hashchinim adaberes b'tor groinoi. It's not about Moshe that the Shekhinah speaks through the voice of Moshe. Because Moshe's body, right, is not really considered to be really physical. Moshe's body as his neshama are like one. We also, haloi gambonu diber, choshvu, they believed, shegamnu vo'osam b'madregi kazu. They believed also that their nevuah is on the same madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what did Kodesh Baruch Hu answer them? So the heshiv, so then came, comes the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kodesh Baruch Hu came and he said the following. And the following, look at the pasuk that Rav Chaim brings. That's the part of the pasuk you see in the Chumash. Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem. That's very important. You have here a pasuk, and it's been chalal not easy to interpret that pasuk. Because if you look at that pasuk, what Hashem answered, you see Rashi has one way of understanding it. Look at Ramban, look at the other Rishonim. Others are totally different. Because the pasuk, the Lashon Kodesh Baruch Hu says, let me just quote the pasuk. Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem b'maro elov ezvada. So Rashi makes a comment. Any of your Nevi'im, Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, any prophets, you know why they are, how they are prophets? I'm learning like Rashi. The word Hashem goes down. Hashem b'mare elof ezvade. HaKodesh Baruch Hu only appears in an image, b'chaloyim, and in a dream. Again, im yeh nevi'achem, Kodesh Baruch Hu trying to explain the difference between other prophets and Moshe. Im yeh nevi'achem, whenever you have general prophets, Hashem, the word Hashem goes down. Hashem b'mara elof ezvada, Hashem appears in an image, b'chaloyim adab raboy, and in a dream. That's the way Rashi learns. Rav Chaim says the word Hashem goes up. Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem. What does that mean? Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem. Let's take a look what Rav Chaim says. You notice how we put the, how this goes together. Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem. Kloimer. Shem ho'etzem baruch hu. The actual name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem. Yudke Vavke, that's the actual Shem. Kikol Hashem is all the other names that Hashem is known by. Nikru Kinuyim. All the other names that Hashem is known by, they are called substitute names. For example, Lakim. Lakim also means Hashem. But it's a substitute name. Kael Shaddai is also, it's a substitute name. All the other names, the only name which you can call is Hashem Etzem. It's an actual name. The actual name is Yudke Vovke. What Reb Chaim says is, Moshe Rabbeinu received Nevuah from the actual name of Hashem. Other Nevi'im received Nevuah from substitute names, which that is a lower level. The Shem Elikim. The Shem Elikim is not the same level as the Shem Yudke Vovke, which is the actual name of Hashem. Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, now, it's true that here is a, it's a fascinating thing. Chaim says that Miriam was such a great prophetess, such a great Nevi'ah and Aaron, that sometimes even they would be able to receive prophecy from the Shem Hashem. But not always. Moshe Rabbeinu was always. That's one of the edges that Moshe Rabbeinu had over them. All other prophets only received Nevuah from the Shem Elohim, which is from a substitute name. Moshe Rabbeinu always received Nevuah from the Shem HaEtzem, from the actual name of Hashem, which is a high level. Aharon and Miriam received sometimes, so they were more than most prophets. They sometimes received prophecy also from the Shem HaEtzem. Let's take a look. Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying, Im yeh nevi'achem Hashem, kloimer. Nevi'achem Hashem means receiving prophecy from the Shem Hashem. What we're trying to say, Shem HaEtzem Baruch Hu. The Shema asks him, Kikol HaShemas, all the other names that Hashem is known by, Nikru Kinuyim, they are called substitute names. The Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, the Shem Havaya Yudke Vovke, that's the Shem HaEsem. That is the actual name of Hashem. Lachain Omer Lahem Khan. So Hashem Baruch Hu now responding to Aaron and Miriam. You think you're as great as Moshe? You're not as great as Moshe. Why? Shal Yedamu, let them not imagine. Shanavuya Shalahem Bemaile Givaya Kolkach. Let them not imagine that their Nevuah is so great, such a Madrege. Kemoshe Moshe, Shahoise Nevuahosa Mishem HaEsem. That Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah falls from the actual name. Ki Madregosom Einenu Tomid Mishem HaEsem. Because their Madrege is not always Mishem HaEsem. Before we go even further. But it means that Reb Chaim is saying, but sometimes yes. That Aharon and Miriam, sometimes their prophecy was, yes, it came from the Shem HaEsem, in contradiction, or in contrast rather, of all the other prophets, that they never really enjoyed the privilege of their prophecy coming from the Shem HaEsem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Their prophecy came from the Shem Elokim. Why I'm mentioning this again and again, because Reb Chaim himself in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Gimel Perk Yud Gimel, tells them it's a mind-blowing thing. As great as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were, the others, Avram, Yitzchak, right? They were Nevi'im. As great as they were, their Nevi'ah was only from the Shem Elokim. Not from the Shem HaEsem, from Yud Kei Vav Kei. Ushmi Hashem Eloi Noidati Elohem. Right? Vani, right? As God says. Right? I appeared to them to Kel Shaddai. Ushmi Hashem Eloi Noidati Elohem. So it comes out that Aharon and Miriam, we're talking about who's greater, Moshe, even Aharon and Miriam, right, had that edge that they enjoyed Nevuah sometimes, at least sometimes, from the Shem HaEsem, from Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whereas as Reb Chaim and Nefesh HaChaim, but the others only received Nevuah from the Shem Elokim. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu to Aharon and Miriam, even though sometimes you do enjoy Nevuah from the Shem HaEsem, from Yud Kei Vav Kei, but not always. Moshe is always. Let's go further. So the lashon is like this: the im yenaviyachem Hashem. Im means im because not always. Even im yenaviyachem Hashem. Then it goes further. And even two things. First of all, they don't see it always. Two differences between Aharon and Miriam. And Kodesh Baruch Hu was saying to Reb Chaim explains two differences between Aharon and Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu always his nevuah is b'shem HaEsem. He gets it from the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Whereas Aharon and Miriam only sometimes. It's also great, only sometimes. But another difference, even when they do enjoy the extreme privilege of receiving the Nevuah from the Shem HaEsem, from the actual name, there's still a difference. There's still a difference. Even when they enjoy the Nevuah from the Shem HaEsem, there's still a difference from Moshe to them. How's that? Let's take a look. The Im Yen Neviyachem Hashem means even when it happens. The Miyen Neviyachem Hashem, meaning is they're receiving it from Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even, that's why Abchan puts the Hashem go together with the word Neviyachem, not like Rashi Hashem goes down, the word Hashem goes to the next. The Miyen Neviyachem Hashem, Rosaloyma, Im Leprokim, even if sometimes he is Damin, it would happen. Sheyeh HaNevuah Bochem, Mishem HaEsem, but you know what? Ozir, you know what kind of picture you're going to get? You're not going to get a clear picture as Moshe Rabbeinu gets. You're going to get the kind of picture that you have. You, Aharon and Miriam, Ozir Shebemaro, it's with the commas. Shebemaro Elof Ezvadai. You know what Maro means? Reb Chaim says Maro, if you know Hebrew, Maro, it's a mirror. What's the difference between a mirror and a piece of glass? Well, a mirror is also glass. But the difference is, a mirror, right, it's that you have a silver coating on the back. That's why it's what it reflects. So when you see yourself in the mirror, you're not seeing yourself, you're seeing a reflection. Yeah, it looks like you. It's a reflection of you. But you're not actually seeing yourself. You're seeing a reflection of what you are. But if you look through a glass, a clear glass, you see the actual person. When you look through a glass, which is not a mirror, you see the actual person through the glass. But when you see through a mirror, you don't see a reflection. You don't see the actual person, whatever you're looking into the mirror. What Kodesh Baruch Hu is saying, that Aharon and Miriam, they are only, whatever they see is like a looking through a mirror. They only see a reflection. They don't see the actual thing. Bemara. Mara means a mirror. That's how Reb Chaim touches the word Bemara. It's like a mirror. Mirror means you only see a reflection. Look how he explains it. You have to figure out what he's saying, but you'll see it now. Like you have a mirror made out of glass. What happens when you look into a mirror? Right, a mirror of glass. You know what happens? You only see ki im hatzel memenu. When you look through a mirror, you only see the reflection. You don't see the actual person. You don't see the actual person. Why? Because there is something behind the glass. That's what makes it a mirror. If it wouldn't have the silver lining on the back, you'd be able to see through. But it has the dover hamafsik, it has what blocks out, you shouldn't be able to see through. Al doifnas chuchis, right on the walls of the glass, so you only see a reflection. There's something blocking. Al bischuchis pshuta, but take a simple piece of glass. Simple piece of glass, not a mirror. Simple piece of glass, near it, derech bo, you'll be able to see through it. Ha'ish be'etzem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying now to Aaron and Miriam, whatever you see, even if sometimes you do receive Nebuah from the Shem or Etzem, but you see it like a mirror reflection. You don't have the clear picture. Of course, if you're in Nebuah, let's look further. But Lachain, he says, so Sefer Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Lachain, he says, what happens is, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, B'mara Erev Ezvada Haina Merochoik, like from a distance, K'me'amara, like a mirror. The Zero Mashikozra, that's why it was explained, Baspakliya Shayna Mira, an illumination that is not, right? That is not clear. It's not clear. Kamoy Hamarish's chukis, like we said. Like the mirror made out of glass, Shayna Mira Derbo, you cannot see, it doesn't give you illumination through it. Like Mare Satseil, only it shows you a reflection. As the Pesuk says in Yecheskel also. Yecheskel Novi uses a motion and he says, for Eshma Es medaber alai, I heard that which was spoken to me. I heard that which was spoken to me. Obviously, it didn't go into his ear. If somebody speaks into his ear, he would have to say, I heard it. If he say, I heard that which was spoken, means it's coming from a distance. Because Stam Nevi'im, right, don't have the voice penetrating right in them. V'eshma es medaber alai. I heard that which is spoken to me, but it's not part of me. Meaning to say, Hainu sha'koil hoi medaber. The voice was speaking. V'hoi shemei me'elof. He was able to hear. There's a voice, and his ears were able to pick up the sound. Avloi hoi magia elof mamish. But the voice of Hashem did not mamish. The voice couldn't penetrate in him. You know why? Because you have a physical body. You have a physical body, so the coil, the voice couldn't penetrate in him. So Yecheskel said, like, if the voice was there, and my ear was able to pick it up. But the voice didn't come right in me. The voice didn't come right into me. The reason the voice could not penetrate in him, within him, because then the shav is connected to a goof, which is not so pure. And then further, ubechaloyim adabre boy. Oh. But sometimes he says, if a Novi wants to have a real clear picture, that can only be in a dream, not when he's awake. You know why? Because what happens when a person's asleep? When a person's asleep, then the neshama goes up, then there is no abaisai, then there is no tension between the body and the neshama. The neshama separates itself from the guf. Now the neshama is untainted. Now the neshama can have a pure reception, and the clear reception of the nevuah. Or b'chaloyim adaber boy. But yes, in a b'chaloyim, yes. B'chaloyim adaber boy. I'll be able to speak directly through him clearly. B'chaloyim b'chaloyim. Shows how guf ain't a mafsik. Then you don't have the guf blocking out anything, because then the neshama goes up, it leaves the guf. Right? The guf is not mafsik ben ha-neshama, between the neshama that we have down here, the shirosha to its roots in the upper world. If the neshama is out of the guf, then there's no separation between our lower neshama and the upper neshama. You know what happens when a person sleeps? All you have left is a small fraction of the main neshama, because you have to have a life force. If there's no neshama whatsoever, the person won't be able to be alive. The neshama goes up, what's left is just what's called, it's called like a fraction or a vestige of the neshama. He said, that's all that happens. When a person's asleep, his main neshama goes up. Kisto de chayusa min ha-nefesh. Kisto de chayusa means a fraction of the actual neshama. So being that the neshama, so then when he's just asleep, there's no, right? Then there's no blockage out of the goof. The goof is not in the way. There's no barrier of the goof anymore. If you don't have to deal with the goof, because the neshama itself goes up. Bachalem adabra boy. Oz adabra boy. Oz epshigam l'shar ha-neviyim. Then even oz neviyim as well. Oz neviyim as well when they're asleep. Also, they're able shadibur yeh bohem kemama chazal b'moishi metoch groina mamish. So when a novi is asleep, he'll be able to have the voice of Hashem coming through his throat like mamish, like Moshe. Because if he's asleep, there's no body tension. The Marla Moshe Rabbeinu was, even when he was alive, even when he was awake, The neshama is in his guf. When Aaron Nevi'im had to fall asleep in order to be able to receive that kind of a pure reception. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to fall asleep while he was alive, and the neshama was in his guf. The guf did not create any barrier in any chatzitza. That is the galus of Moshe. Loi kein avdi Moshe. Pel davar boy. It was pel peh, not in a dream. Pel peh, mamish, face to face. Hanukkah Moshe kasaftim. Actually, the pasuk says, "Kamashu kosa." It said, "Bekor Moshe." The pasuk says, "What does it say further?" It says, "Umare veloy bechidois." Mare veloy bechidois. Because Baruch Hu says he sees, but not in riddles. Now, if you notice, if you open up the chumash, you're going to notice. Before, when it said the word maro, we said it means mirror. That other Nevi'im, their image is only a reflection. There it says maro with a comas. With a comas. This one, by Moshe Rabbeinu, says mare with a segel. Mare means a clear vision. Maro, he says, is the mirror. That's what he points out. Because Shemoshe says, umare veloy bechidois. As Chazal say, baspakla yahamir, with a very clear illumination. Vizehu mare besegel. This mare is already a segel. Vishom mare becomes. Because someone will say, the Torah used the same word. By the others, we said, we use the Russian Mara, here again we're using the Mara. Why over there does it mean mirror, and over here it means clear vision? Because it's, the Nikud, the vowels is different. There is Mara, that's mirror. Here is Mara. Moshe Rabbeinu says Mara. Very clear vision. Hainu, Moshe Rabbeinu is not a mirror. He has like a see-through glass. Sees everything straight. Hanekinyan has chukis apshuto, like a very clear glass. Shemara derachbol, you can see etzem adover. It's not a reflection. You see the etzem adover, you see the actual thing. If you look through a glass, you see the actual thing. Veloy bechidois. It's not in riddles. Not like other Nevi'im, as Yecheskel Novi uses a lotion. Choyit chido, the Pesuk says, propose a riddle. Right? Umshar moshel, and relate a moshel. That by other Nevi'im. They don't actually see the actual thing. But that's the difference in the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. But what's fascinating, what we see from here, that even Aaron and Miriam, they were not as great as Moshe, as we showed the two differences. A, number one, not always were they zoichet to see the Nevuah, right, from the Shem O'etzem. From the Shem Yud Kev Ofkei, but even when they did, they did not have the clear vision. It was like a mirror image. But interesting thing, but the other is interesting, Rab Chaim says in Nefesh HaChaim, that they only had the Shem Elokim at that particular time. So that is one of the critics. Let's go now to the sheet, what we say. Let's take a look, very fascinating things. We have a few numbers in Yonim here. Okay. The first item that I had here is on the words. Let's see number one first again, repeating a few words of Ruach Chaim, because that's what I want to speak about here. Rav Chaim said, these were actually the first few lines we started today. Rav Chaim again said, we have your number one ray on top. That is the Inyan Dibur Aharon and Miriam B'Moshe. This is the criticism that Aharon and Miriam had in Moshe. Shechoshu, they thought she Eslam Gamkin is Dachech Achoyim Kima Moshe. They thought that their goof is just as pure as Moshe, and therefore they are zoichet to all the revelations as Moshe. Therefore they said, Aaron and Miriam said, Harakach b'Moshe diber. Does only Moshe enjoy that the Shekhinah speaks through his throat? Kloima, they meant to say, Loi boy belvado. Not only by Moshe Shekhinah madaberes mitoch groinoi. Right? Except they said, Halegam bonu diber, but also we, they thought they were in the same adrege. So what brings us here, therefore, is just a few lines here of B'chonah Wasserman in Kovitz Mamorim. B'chonah says, this clearly, as you take a look at Pesach in the Rambam, how is it possible that Aharon and Miriam, even for a moment, can think they are like Moshe? It's a clear posik with the Torah says that there is no Novi. Anybody who thinks that there's any other Novi which is like Moshe is Kofer in the Nebuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's clear. It's apikorsis. How could even Aaron and Miriam imagine, even for a moment, that they were as great as Moshe Rabbeinu in Nevuah? Let's take a look here. there's a mimer, it's called Nevuah Moshe, from B'chonah Wasserman. First of all, it brings the Rambam Seif Hilchis Tumas Taras regarding Lashon Hara. And Rambam says, we can discern the extent of the severeness of Lashon Hara. Look what happened to Miriam. Miriam, by the way, did not really mean to speak ill of her brother. What was Lashon Hara? The only Lashon Hara is that she compared Moshe to other Nevi'im. That's always the derogatory thing. Shouldn't Chazal Shalom say anything really bad about Moshe? All she did was take away the mile of Moshe over other Nevi'im. They said Moshe and other Nevi'im, he's the same. You're not equating Moshe. So Ma Miriam, if you see that Miriam, she didn't really speak about any shame of her brother. She didn't speak about anything which is really terribly negative. Now look at the Oynish that Miriam got. She became a Mitzaras. Right? She became a leper. So Kal v'chomer, can you imagine when somebody goes outright to speak Lashon Hara, you really want to demean someone. Really want to speak derogatory about someone. You want to ruin someone's reputation. Can you imagine the severity? Make a Kal v'chomer for Miriam. Miriam, what did she do already? She didn't really speak really... She did not really shame Moshe only by saying that he's the same as other Nevi'im. That's all she said. To be a Navi is very great. It's very great to be a Navi. Moshe is like other Nevi'im. So she took away that edge. And look at the great oinish that she had. Fine. Now, one of the foundations, he says, of Jewish belief, Shemona HaRambam B'Pesha Mishnai, that Rambam mentioned, Rambam Yud Gim Likrim, right, the 13 Yesoidis, the Animamin, that a Yid has to believe. Rambam mentions, Ikar Echad, one of the main Ikrim is, she called Divrei Nevi'im Emes. Number one, what, all of the words of the Nevi'im of the prophets are true. The Oyri Karach, and then there's another Iker, Shinevuas, Moshe Rabbeinu, Olav HaSholem, Hoysalam Mailam, and Nevuas Kron, that's an Iker, that's a Yesod HaTorah. That's a Yesod HaTorah, that the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than all other Nevi'im. But if he's there, Ho'oymer, Ki Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, Shovel, and Nevuas Kol HaNevi'im, Harei Zeh Koifer, Be'echad Me'ikrei Hadas, Bedinoi Kimumer Lechol HaTorah, Vein Lechelik Lechol HaTorah. Merely just imagining, merely just saying that Moshe Rabbeinu was equal to other Nevi'im, you would lose your chelik in Olam Haba. Because now you have violated and you denied one of the Ikrim foundations. One of the Ikrim of belief of a Yid is that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Nevuah, prophet of anything. So if that's the case, v'koshe, ech efshelil mekal v'choyim and Miriam. Oh, now we're learning from kal v'choyim from Miriam, l'gabah the Yisrael Lashon Hara. Miriam did a terrible thing. Miriam, by equating Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not just a little piece of Lashon Hara. She equated Moshe to other Nevi'im. So what did she say so bad? Terrible, because that is denying one of the foundations of our belief. The Rambam says one of the yesodim of our belief is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Navi. So how do you learn from Miriam, right, to make a kal v'chomer for the Eastern of Lashon Hara? When somebody speaks Lashon Hara, as bad as it is, he did not lose his shame Yisrael. He's still a Yid. But if you're not Pekiris, you basically have severed yourself. You have cut your ties with the Jewish people if a person is an apikoyris. So Miriam apparently must have did by quoting Moshe Rabbeinu to all of the Nevi'im. She severed herself. She broke away. Right? If someone who's a Mesapel Yisrael, Yosef Makali Soil. But then we have a second question. How is it possible to say that Miriam in fact did such a thing? How is it possible? The Gamechef Shalom al Miriam HaNevi'ah she Yosef Makali Soil Chaz V'Sholem. So Bechonon only has one answer to that. Vishloimar. Shoikra Zeh. This Yesoid that the Rambam says. Right? This Yesoid. That no one can deny the greatness of Moshe over other Nevi'im. We just learned it out from here from Miriam. In other words, it was not known till now. This fact, this Yesoid, this foundation, this particular Iker, we learn out from Miriam. Shoikra Zeh lo madnu mipashis Miriam shomala kodesh bochum, because here's what kodesh bochum said. Loi kein abdi Moshe. Here, it was down this Chaddish. Here's what kodesh bochum said. Loi kein abdi Moshe. Loi kein abdi Moshe, said kodesh bochum. Peh al peh dabra boy. Moshe is different than I speak to him face to face. Bemare. Very clear vision, not a mirror. A very clear vision. Veloi bechidois, not a riddles. Al Bishosha Dibur Miriam, that was after Miriam spoke. That's when Hashem said that. By the time that Miriam spoke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not say that yet, that Moshe is so special. Al Bishosha Dibur Miriam Adayin Lenemra HaPasha Ha'i. This Pasha was not said yet. Lenoida Adayin HaIkra Hazeh. This Ikra, this foundation, to believe that Moshe is the greatest of all Nevi'im, that was not known yet. V'dibura Oz. Therefore, when Miriam said it, at that time, L'hoi B'kfira B'ikra Mikra Das. We're still Lashon Hara, fine, a little bit of Lashon Hara, and so on. So that's what Bechonon says. So at that particular time, this animamin did not, right, was not yet here, was not established yet. The animamin to believe that the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu is greater than all Nevi'im, that is something that we learned out actually from the parasha of Nevi'im. We want to go is here, number three, to see it very too fascinating. We're talking about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's actually a mind-boggling thing, I say mind-boggling, incredible thing. And we took out, actually, you see number three here on top. It's a lengthy Meshech Chochmah. We only mamish took a few lines, but that's enough for what we want to show up. This Meshech Chochmah, and you open up Sefer Shemois, with Meir Simcha, the Meshech Chochmah, has a Hagdomah. And in the Hagdomah, because Parashat Shemois talks about the leadership of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu comes on the scene, right? Starting in Chumash Shemois. So I may simply give a little Hagdomah. Before you talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, all these Bible critics, and all these guys, put on Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're trying to criticize him. He could have done this, he could have done that. Find a little bit about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Hagdomah. Before you learn Sefer Shemois, you have to know something about Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, it's a lengthy Hagdomah, we just took a few lines, but it's enough. Let's take a look. Meshech Chochmah is in the Hagdomah of Sefer Shemois Hiksha. He asks a simple question. Eich tziva Hashem sheaminu lo'olam b'Moshe. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'gam b'chol yaminu li'olam." Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu that after everything that you have done and so on and so forth, they'll come to see your greatness. They're going to believe in you forever. How can you guarantee that? We have a klal, the Gemara Brachas Lamed Gimel, Hakol b'dei Shemayim chutz mi'yir Shemayim. Everything is ordained by heaven. Your Shemayim is not ordained. You have a bechira. You can be a tzaddik. We can be a tzaddik to age 89. And at 89 and a half, just before you pass away, right, you can become a Rosh HaChazoshon. There's no guarantee. Yerichin and Kohen Godel, right? Chanukah is coming up very soon. B'mei Matasyor, Ben Yerichin and Kohen Godel. Yerichin and Kohen Godel was a tzaddik hador. What? He was mishamish b'kohen hador, the Kohen Godel, 80 years. L'besoydi became a tzaddiki. Shouldn't leave you with that, because the Sefer Chassidus B'nei Soscha has a whole yeshuv about Yerichin Kohen Godel, how his neshama received the tikkun later on. It's a different shmuz, it's not for now. So just not to leave it like that, because Pashi learned the Gemara, Yerichin and Kohen Godel became a tzaddiki. But B'nei Soscha said he had a tikkun at the end. But how come they shemaim chutz mi'ir shemaim? So the question is, not, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not force anyone. So how can you guarantee that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to remain a tzaddik? Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, chas v'shalom, you know, just had a change of heart. Just means, influences, may just have naya machshavas, may have naya ideas. Maybe you'll have a philosophical debate with someone, and who knows? And he may change his mind. What guarantee? Knowledge does not force a person. You know, even Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the future, but you still have a choice. That's one of the questions. You still have a choice to do whatever you want. And the question is, v'shem yivcha achazem, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will choose a new derech. Maybe Moshe Rabbeinu will decide to add to the Torah on his own. Or maybe he'll take away from the Torah or something like that. Maybe. And he'll say, this comes from Kadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know? How do you know? So what's the guarantee that Moshe Rabbeinu remains Moshe Rabbeinu, right, throughout his career, throughout his life? Look at the Meshech Chochmah says. The tears, the Meshech Chochmah says, Shal Kochach, so we have to say, Shal Chloimah, Shashem Yizborach, Sholal Memenu HaBechiru Legamra. Kadosh Baruch Hu took away the free choice from Moshe. V'nisha Mukhrach Kemalochim, V'shub Lo HaYaboycha Kibos HaVadam. Half of the fellow. Meshech Chochmah says Moshe Rabbeinu was not a regular boss of Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was not endowed, was not given the right of choice. Because Moshe Rabbeinu has the right of choice. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu brings down the Torah. Let's say Moshe Rabbeinu goes out the derech. What happened to the Torah? How reliable is he going to say? He brought down the Torah, then the whole Torah goes. The whole Torah goes down the drain. Moshe Rabbeinu gave you the Torah, what happened to him? Chas v'shalom becomes a Muslim. What happened to the Torah that he gave us 10 years ago? You check me. It's mukhrach that if Moshe Rabbeinu gives us the Torah, that Moshe Rabbeinu has no choice, he must remain a tzaddik, because Moshe took away the bechira. He's like a malach. He's like an angel. A malach does not have a bechira. Moshe Rabbeinu, sholal mimon, that's Moshe Rabbeinu. A bria called Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe created a bria called Moshe Rabbeinu. He looks like us, maybe he walks like us. He's not like us. Kadosh Baruch Hu removed the Bechira of Moshe Rabbeinu and remained Mukhra. Mukhra means he has to do it. Mukhra means he's forced to do the right thing. Moshe Rabbeinu is forced to do the right thing like Malachim. Shuv lahoye, boyche kibos avadam. So here, there's a statement called Shiras David, in the Psyche Al HaTorah. So it brings down that Meshech Chochmah would be very happy. Meshech Chochmah is an Achron, not so long ago, before the war. You know, by the way, Meshech Chochmah is one of those who predicted in Parashat Chukosai, the Holocaust, right? 20 years before it happened. Because he says, when the Jewish people, he says, are living in Berlin, which they had everything, you know, they become the doctors and the lawyers, and they were highly respected in Germany at the time. So come a time when the Yidden of Berlin will believe that Berlin is Yerushalayim, then Kodesh Baruch Hu will show them it's not so. And he goes on to say what's going to happen. This year was this very famous thing. Like in the Vua, a prophecy about the Holocaust that's going to come, unfortunately. And it did happen. You can look it up. It's Parshas Bukhu Kosai, but he writes it very clearly. You find out where the Meshech Chochmah speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu. Guess what? It's a Rambam. It's a Rambam Perish of Mishnah. It's like, look. Dina Yisoy Devarov. The Yisoy Devarov means the foundation of the words of the of Meshech Chochmah. Dargas Moshe Rabbeinu Sheniskadesh. Venase Mukhra Kemalach is Mefurish Berambam Perish of Mishnah. It's Perkut and Sanhedrin. In Mesach the Sanhedrin, look at the Lashon Rambam. Zelu Shoinu. Okay, quote. Listen to Rambam. Hayisoy Dashvi. The seventh Yisoy, Rambam gives a list of Yisoydis, foundations. Hayisoy Dashvi. Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholem. He was the choice of all the species of man. He was the Nivchar. Yeah, he's a part. He's a part. He's not part of the regular human race. He's the Nivchar. He's the choices of the Min Ho'odom. He was masig. His yadir. He was able to be masig. Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Mikol Ma Shehisik or Yasik Shum Odom Shenimso Oy Shemose. Past, present, future. No one will ever reach the hasog of knowing Hakadosh Baruch Hu as Moshe did. V'chihu Olav HaSholem. He Moshe Rabbeinu. He gia his saluso, his greatness. Aliyah. Min Hanushos. He rose above human being. He rose above Anushos. Ad Hamala Hamalachusis. The mile of Amalach. He goes above Anushos. Mentioned, he goes to the Madrega Malach, the Nichlal, the Milas Hamalochim, Planisha Mesach. There's no separation. His body did not block out anything, did not stare. Moshe Ben's body was, did not stand in the way. He's like a Malach. Half of the fellow, what you see over here. Okay, just we see here again. The same thing, by the way, is the Drosha Saran. Okay, because you could see it yourself. You see, he says, Mami is the same thing. So he says, it's a big chish, Mesh, same thing, same. Moshe Rabbeinu is like a Malach, no Bechira. Well, take a look, you'll find the Rambam and the Ran also. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu. So you can see that the Aharon and Miriam have stickle distance, you know, between them and Moshe Rabbeinu. To think that they're equal to Moshe Rabbeinu, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu had no Bechira. Aharon and Miriam still had a Bechira, as great as they were, they had a Bechira. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have any Bechira because it's like a Malach. You see the sensitivity that we started with Rabbi Chonon, that Miriam, Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's the big Lashon Hara there? So she, all she did was say Moshe is equal. But nevertheless, there was a terrible sensitivity that Kodesh Baruch Hu had, we see, in order not to take away anything of the Milus of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Chaz is a very interesting thing talking about sensitivity, you know, and certainly Lashon Hara is much, much worse, as we see here, as Rabbi Chonon brings the Kal V'Chomer, how terrible Lashon Hara is, real Lashon Hara. Miriam didn't intend to speak Lashon Hara, only to equate Moshe Rabbeinu, he's like other Nevi'im, and certainly real Lashon Hara. The idea is how you can hurt a person, you know, by saying, speaking derogatory about a person. It's a very interesting thing is that many years ago, one of Rav Palm's children, by the way, who today have already grandchildren themselves, they happened to find a $5 bill on the street. Now, that was in the days where $5 was money. So they found $5, right? It's a tremendous find. They found $5, and you can actually buy something of value. Lamaise in Hilchas Hashavas Aveda, there was no Hashavas Aveda over here. You find money on the street, there's no din of Hashavas Aveda, there's no simon. The person who lost it is Meyai, she gives up hope because there's millions of people walking back and forth. That's a clear halacha. So when they found the $5, so in Hilchas Hashavas Aveda, there was no obligation to return it. There's no simon. This is a classical case of finders keepers and you know the rest. All right. But being that there are some weepers, you know, when you lose something, so Abraham wanted to teach his child, he said like this. He took the money and he put it on the shelf and he said the following. Right now there's someone who's very sad, he told the child. Right now there's someone very sad because he lost his $5. But wait a few days before you spend it. It's not right for you to rejoice when someone else is feeling pain. You found something, somebody else is feeling pain, the person lost it. Put on the shelf, wait a few days, not rejoice right at the same moment when somebody's feeling pain. That is extreme, extreme sensitivity. Legally, you're right, it's yours, $5 belongs to you. But it's not appropriate in terms of having sensitivity. Somebody is in pain at the same time. You're going to rejoice with this $5. Somebody has lost it. Somebody's now is. So therefore, Just let it be. And the Maisa, the truth is, this is, you hear that all the time, which one of the most famous situations is, and which brings out that point, is the great Goyen, Mrs. Zalman Meltzer. Mrs. Zalman Meltzer was the father, of course, of Rabbi Aaron Kotler. He came to Eretz Yisrael when, before his wife. You know, he was always attached to Israel from Lithuania. It was during the war period, because his wife was not able to leave. She didn't have a visa. She wasn't able to go up to Eretz Yisrael. So he spent quite a while in Eretz Yisrael alone. So finally, with all the intervention to bring up the wife of Rabbi Zalman to come to Eretz Yisrael, so all of a sudden he disappears. Everybody was going to the boat, you know, to be makabel upon him. And one would expect it. Who not, if not her husband, Rabbi Zalman himself, who was a tremendous Baal Midos, Why would he go to the boat to be makabel upon him, his wife, and after such a long separation? It turns out, where did he go? He realizes he has no ksuba. His wife is now coming home. He's not allowed to live in the same house without a ksuba. So the first thing he did is went to the sofer to have a ksuba written up. That's a chesh mavayid. The chesh mavayid, who thinks halacha every step of the way, is a halacha. You'd be so overwhelmed, your wife is coming for such separation, except from it's halacha, ksuba. But anyway, but that's just a gavurcha. So Rabbi Zalman was over to Israel after escaping Europe, and his grandson, who was his grandson, Rav Shneur Kotler. Rav Shneur Kotler was the grandson. So Rav Shneur also was learning in Israel. He was already a chosn, he was engaged, but because of the war, he could not get married. But Shneur was already engaged. When it came time to return to America to get married, because his kala was saved, so now the time was the chosn was supposed to be in America, so now he's supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to America. So Mr. Zalman, who's the Zaydeh, so he escorted Rav Shneur, right, down the stairs. All of a sudden he stops. Does not go further, doesn't go all the way. He stops, he says, he gives him a kiss. Goodbye, he wishes him mazel tov. And he walked back, and Rav Shneur had to walk alone to the car. So one of the Talmidim asked Rabbi Zalman, he said, why didn't you escort your grandson all the way? Why escort him all the way? He stopped in the middle of the steps. So he says to him, this is after the war. There was a Holocaust. Do you realize how many of our neighbors are not zoiche to see their grandchildren get married? Because their children didn't make it out of the Holocaust. So Zalman said, they'll never get to celebrate, he said, and they'll never get to see the nachas that I'm seeing. I'm happy, but I'm going to keep my joy private, not to hurt the feelings of those who are not as fortunate, to see how the Zayd is able to escort his grandson. He's doing it in private. Just another, just a little bit of an indication. And I have to tell you something. In one of the yeshivas, I have to be in Darche, Torah. It's a mice of a little boy. You don't have to be a Zalman. You don't have to be Rabban Kotler. You don't have to be a Rapam. But there was a boy who used to buy flowers for his mother every Erev Shabbos. To buy flowers for his mother. There was a guy standing. It's a good place to sell flowers. He's standing in front of the Dachet. It's not be yeshiva. Boys go out, they buy flowers. So this particular boy was going over to the guy, to the vendor. He goes over to buy flowers, and then he turns back. He doesn't buy. Comes back a second time, and he doesn't buy. The third time he bought. So the vendor said, every time you buy, you came twice. He went back. Why? So I'll tell you the truth. As I was going to buy flowers for my mother, this other boy, he says, just lost his mother, he says, a couple of weeks ago. He has no mother to buy flowers for. I don't want him to see how I am buying for my mother, and he knows he has no mother to buy it. The boy didn't buy it until the boy left. That's called sensitivity, I would say. That's what we learn, I would say, from our people.